ஆய நாராயணம் நமஸ்கிருத்ய நரம் சைவ நரோத்தமம் தேவீம் சரஸ்வதீம் வ்யாஸம் தத்தோ ஜயமுதீரயேத். நஷ்டப்ராயேஷ்வபத்ரேஷு நித்யம் பாகவத சேவயா பகவதீர் உத்தம ஸ்லோகே பக்திர் பவதி நைஷ்டிகி. கிருஷ்ணாய வாசுதேவாய தேவகீ நந்தனாய ச நந்தகோபகுமாராய கோவிந்தாய நமோ நம. ரீடிங் ஃப்ரம் ஸ்ரீமத் பாகவதம் கேண்டோ 11 சாப்டர் 3 என்டைட்டில்ட் லிபரேஷன் ஃப்ரம் த இல்யூஷரி எனர்ஜி. டெக்ஸ்ட் நம்பர் 23. சர்வதோ மனசோ சங்கம் மாதவ் சங்கம் ச சாதுஷு தயாம் மைத்ரீம் ப்ரஶ்ரயம் ச பூதேஷ்வத்தாயதோசிதம். சர்வதோ மனசோ சங்க மாதவ் சங்கம் ச சாதுஷு தயாம் மைத்ரீம் ப்ரஶ்ரயம் ச பூதேஷ்வத்தாயதோசிதம். சர்வதோ மனசோ சங்க மாதவ் சங்கம் ச சாதுஷு தயாம் மைத்ரீம் ப்ரஶ்ரயம் ச பூதேஷ்வத்தாயதோசிதம். சர்வதோ மனசோ சங்க தௌ சங்கம் ச சாதுஷு தயாம் மைத்ரீம் ப்ரஶ்ரயம் ச உதேஷ்வத்தாயதோசிதம். சர்வதோ மனசோ சங்க தயாம் மைத்ரீம் ப்ரஶ்ரயம் ச பூதேஷ்வத்தாயதோசிதம். மாதாஜிஸ், சர்வதோ மனசோ சங்கம் ஆதௌ சங்கம் ச சாதுஷு தயாம் மைத்ரீம் ப்ரஶ்ரயம் ச பூதேஷ்வத்தாயதோசிதம். வேர்ட் டு வேர்ட் டிரான்ஸ்லேஷன். சர்வதஹ எவ்ரிவேர், மனசஹ ஆஃப் த மைண்ட், அசங்கம் டிட்டாச்மெண்ட், ஆதௌ இன் த பிகினிங், சங்கம் association, cha and sadushu with saintly persons, dayam mercy, maitrim friendship, prashrayam reverence, cha and bhuteshu for all living beings, adda tas yata uchitam, as is suitable. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: a sincere disciple should learn to disassociate the mind from everything material and positively cultivate association with a spiritual master and other saintly persons. He should be merciful to those in an inferior position to him, cultivate friendship with those on an equal level, and meekly serve those in a higher spiritual position. Thus, he should learn to deal properly with all living beings. So I'll read the last section of the purport. Two sections have been covered the last 2 days. If one neglects the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by engaging in sinful life, he is certainly not merciful. One who ignores his eternal status as part and parcel of the Supreme Lord and who instead covers himself more and more with material illusions in the form of temporary designations, I am American, I am Russian, I am Indian, I am black, I am white, and so on, is certainly a killer of his own soul and cannot be considered merciful. Similarly, those who support animal slaughter by eating meat, fish, and eggs cannot be considered merciful. Sometimes the argument is given that if one does not harm others, he is perfectly religious. But because we are now in a state of ignorance, we have no idea whatsoever of the future reactions to our present activities. Ignorantly boasting that one is not harming others without an awareness of the subtle laws of nature does not make one a religious person. One becomes religious by surrendering to the laws of God as they are stated by the Lord Himself in the Bhagavad Gita. As long as a living entity is infatuated with his own mental speculations, which carry him away like the waves of the ocean, he cannot understand the process of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mental speculations based on our experience of the variegated creations of the Lord's illusory energy are incapable of bringing us to perfect knowledge. One must give up materialistic association and make company with pure devotees of the Lord, those who are engaged 24 hours a day in perfectly pleasing the Supreme Lord. One should cultivate association with those who are more advanced than oneself in devotional service. One's advancement can be measured by one's detachment from sense gratification and his ability to distribute Krishna consciousness to others. In this connection, Srila Narottam Das Thakur has said, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Payeche Keba. Who can attain salvation if he gives up the service of the Vaishnavas? By serving the lotus feet of pure devotees, one is immediately enlightened with spiritual knowledge. All of the so-called pleasures of the material world, culminating in many varieties of sexual fantasy and impersonal visions of oneself as God, become useless to one who has achieved the mercy of the lotus feet of a pure devotee of Krishna. The entire material creation is compared to an insignificant bubble in the ocean. The material universe rests on the spiritual potency of the Lord, called Brahma Jyoti, just as an insignificant bubble rests on the potency of the unlimited ocean. By serving the lotus feet of a pure devotee, one can enter the ocean of eternal happiness and experience his constitutional position as a servant of Krishna. The mercy of Vaishnavas is unlimited, and one who has tasted that mercy becomes mad after the lotus feet of Krishna.
not caring for the hallucinations of so-called material pleasure or mental speculation. The mercy of the Vaishnavas is substantial and as powerful as Krishna himself. Whereas, impersonal speculations and hopeless dreams of society, friendship and love merely constitute various means by which Maya cheats the conditioned souls and keeps them in perpetual frustration.
Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namavo Mishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pashyati Dashatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare. Quite a difficult purport. Hridayan Maharaj has written many profound statements about the service to Vaishnavas, mercy of the devotees. So, I will just try to share something. So, in this section, we are reading the conversation between Nimi Maharaj and the Navayogendras, as it has been going on for the past few months. So, in this particular section of the third chapter, Nimi Maharaj has asked a question, how a person can overcome the influence of the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. So this question was asked by Nimi Maharaj to Prabuddha, and Prabuddha is actually answering this particular question. Just a background to this particular verse, before this verse, what Prabuddha, how he has been building up, is that Prabuddha mentioned that in the material world, a living entity accepting the role of a male and female, the living entity unites with the opposite sex with the plan to increase happiness and with the plan to diminish distress. But eventually their plan, instead of the happiness getting increased, that happiness practically vanishes and then only misery remains. And then Prabuddha says that these verses are quite strong verses talking about the futility of material sense gratification. So Prabuddha explains that Nitya Artidena Vittena, wealth is a perpetual source of distress and it is most difficult to acquire and it is practically a virtual death for the soul. Even Avanti Brahmana, in the 11th canto, he explains that how the wealth in all its stages, whether in earning or in spending or in protecting or in trying to increase the money, in all the stages it only produces fear, lamentation, illusion. In that way he gives us realization. In similar line Prabuddha is also mentioning. So that's why unless a person has a higher purpose of serving the Lord, or unless a person has a purpose of engaging in dharmic activities, so then the wealth can actually entangle a person. So that's why the scriptures constantly remind a person. So Prabuddha explains that it is most difficult to acquire, wealth is most difficult to acquire, and it is virtual death for the soul. And then, what satisfaction does one actually gain from his wealth? So he talks about the futility of material sense gratification in this life. And then in the next verse, he says that he talks about the futility of material sense gratification in the heavenly planets.
And suppose if a person thinks that, okay, in this world, in this planet, okay, the wealth ends up in so much of misery, sense gratification leads to misery. So let me make a plan to go to heavenly planets. So he says that even in the heavenly planets that there is so much of competition between the demigods, or there is envy between the different demigods, and the demigods may be satisfying the desires of their followers, of their worshippers, but among them there is sometimes there is competition. Just like a king may be giving salary to so many employers and servants, but then the king, that particular king will be put under pressure. He will be competing with other kings, or he will be put under pressure by a superior king, emperor. So in this way, that even in the heavenly planets there are so much of miseries. Then after talking about the futility of sense gratification in this world or in the higher planets, so then Prabuddha says, Tasmad Gurum Prapadyeta Jigyashu Shreya Uttamam. Therefore, after understanding this, then one should approach a spiritual master for the ultimate benefit, which is actually beyond this material world. So we can see that Prabuddha is very strong, very emphatically making the point of, like, what should be the purpose of approaching a guru. So Jigyashu Shreya Uttamam, Tasmat means therefore. It implies that after understanding the futility of the sense gratification in this world or in the other planets, and therefore in order to get out of the miseries, in order to find the ultimate benefit, one should approach a spiritual master. And then he explains the qualification of such a spiritual master. Shabde Parecha Nishnatam Brahman Yupasamashraya. He says that such a spiritual master, he must be very learned in the scriptures, and he should be not only learned, he must have realized the conclusions of the scriptures, and he should also be able to convince others of those conclusions. And then Prabuddha says, after describing the purpose of going to a spiritual master, and then from the 22nd to 32nd verse, Prabuddha explains the activities of a disciple. The 22nd verse he mentioned, Tatra Bhagavatan Dharman Sikshet Guru Atma Daivatah. That a disciple should accept the spiritual master as Atma Daivata, as the life and soul. And one should actually learn from the spiritual master, one should hear from a spiritual master, Sikshet. And amayaya anuvrityayais, one should render service to a guru with great sincerity and with great faith. And in this way one should satisfy the guru. And when the guru is satisfied, what does the disciple get? Tushyet atmatmado harihi. So the Supreme Lord, he actually gives himself to a disciple who has actually pleased the guru, who has accepted the guru as the life and soul. So in this way, that is the background to this verse. And then now in the 23rd verse also, is further going on to describe the what should be the qualities of a disciple. So in this verse he says that sarvato manaso sangam adav sangam cha sadushu. A disciple should become manaso asangam, that means one should disassociate his mind from everything material. Adav sangam cha sadushu, he should associate with the saintly people, and he should associate with the spiritual master. And then dayam maitrim prashrayam cha, he should be merciful towards those who are inferior, he should develop friendship with those who are equals, and he should have a reverential attitude towards those who are superiors. And in this way, bhutesh adda yata uchitam, understanding the different status of different people, he should actually deal with them accordingly. So these are from these verses we can understand the purpose of going to a spiritual master, the qualifications of a spiritual master, what should be the qualities of a disciple. So these are very profound verses which we can actually meditate upon, because when I read this purport I see myself so very away from all these qualities, but these are very profound purports. So in this this particular verse talks about relationship with those who are superiors, equals and the inferiors. There is also a very similar verse which Narada Muni had spoken to Dhruva Maharaj. Gunadikan mudam lipset anukrosha gunadamat maitrim samanat anvichen na tapair abhibhoyate. So Narada Muni mentions guna adikan. When we meet people who are having superior qualities, generally the tendency of a conditioned soul is to actually become envious. But Narada Muni says mudam lipset, one should become joyful. And anukrosha gunadamat. And generally when we meet people who are actually inferior, we tend to exploit that person. But one should, on the other hand, one should be merciful towards that person. And maitrim samanat anvichen. And generally when we meet people who are equal, we tend to compete with them. But Narada Muni advises that one should develop a friendship with them. And when a person follows this kind of behavior, what is the result of that? Na tapair abhibhuyate. He will not be affected by the threefold miseries, or especially in particular, he will not be affected by the miseries from other living entities. Even a similar verse, in the 7th canto, 15th chapter, Narada Muni says that by giving up envy and by proper behavior, by good behavior, one can actually overcome the adi bhautika miseries. One can overcome the miseries from other living entities. So here, in that way, this verse also mentions a similar behavior which a disciple should adopt. And when we talk about this particular question, that in fact the previous question of Nimmi Maharaj was that, please describe about the power of the illusory energy. And in this particular question he is asking that how to get out of the influence of the illusory energy. We find in the Srimad Bhagavatam that there are some places describes the power of Krishna and power of illusory energy. Like there's one particular pastime in the 10th canto, when Krishna went to kill Narakasur, Sukadeva Goswami, when he was narrating that pastime, he exhibits his astonishment in two occasions, remembering the power of Krishna and also remembering the power of illusory energy. So when Sukadeva Goswami was narrating Krishna fighting with Narakasur, he describes that when Krishna was fighting with Narakasur, there were so many lakhs of warriors, they were actually simultaneously attacking Krishna with their different arrows and with their different weapons. So Krishna single-handedly, he shot 3 arrows upon each of those warriors, and he shot 3 arrows upon the weapons which the warriors had released. And Sukadeva Goswami mentions in particular, and it's not that Krishna, all these warriors were simultaneously attacking Krishna, but Krishna was actually not simultaneously releasing the arrows. Krishna was releasing the arrows one by one. That means Rupa Goswami mentions how swiftly Krishna was releasing the arrows. And usually when you are actually fighting with somebody, first you would actually attack the weapon which the person has released. After destroying that weapon, then you would try to destroy the person. But Krishna first shot arrows at the people who are throwing the arrows, and then he shot arrows at the weapons or the arrows which they had released, which were in the air. So Shukadeva Goswami is mentioning this point to show that how swiftly Krishna was shooting those arrows. One of the 64 qualities of Krishna is that Daksha. Krishna is expert. Expert means one who can perform a very difficult task very quickly. So here so many lakhs of people were attacking him simultaneously. Krishna had to deal with them, everyone, but he was doing it very quickly. So when he was narrating that, Shukadeva Goswami became so astonished, and then he tells Parikshit Maharaj, he calls Parikshit Maharaj as Kurudvaga, and he says that even among the Kurus, even among any of your grandfathers, Arjuna or Bhishma or anybody, nobody can actually shoot arrows like Krishna. In this way, Shukadeva Goswami, by describing the power of Krishna, he becomes astonished. And then later in the same pastime, Krishna, after killing Narakasur, he actually takes the earrings of Aditi, and then he personally goes to heavenly planets to hand over it to Indra. So at that time, Satyabhama, she wanted to have the Parijata tree. So Krishna started taking away the Parijata tree. So when Krishna handed over those earrings to Indra, Indra offered obeisances to Krishna with great humility. But just few moments later, when Krishna started taking the Parijata tree, Indra started fighting with Krishna. So Shukadeva Goswami became so astonished, because just one moment before Indra was offering obeisances, now he is actually fighting with Krishna. Shukadeva Goswami says that, he becomes astonished and he says that, how powerful is the intoxication caused by wealth that Indra is actually fighting with the Supreme Personality of God. So in that way we find that scriptures talk about the power of the Supreme Lord and the power of the illusory potency. And in this particular verse, we find in this section of the purport, Hridayan Maharaj is emphasizing very much about serving the spiritual master, serving the devotee of the Lord, and getting the mercy of the devotee. So there are many, I'll just try to take some examples of how the by serving a spiritual master, how the devotee gets benefited. When we take the example of Swayambhu Manu, he served the instructions of Lord Brahma without any reservation, with great honesty and putting his heart into it. In fact, when Swayambhu Manu was born, Swayambhu Manu told Lord Brahma that, please instruct me, how can I serve you? So Lord Brahma, when he heard the words of Swayambhu Manu, he became so happy, because just recently he had the experience of the four Kumaras disobeying his instruction or refusing to follow his instruction. So in that particular circumstance, when Swayambhu Manu was so eager to serve him, he became very happy. So Swayambhu Manu, he carried out the instruction of Lord Brahma in increasing the population of the universe. But later Swayambhu Manu, when he wanted to retire, he wanted to appoint a successor. But at that time, Swayambhu Manu had two sons, Uttanupad and Priyavrat Maharaj. But the dynasty through Uttanupad, there were Dhruva Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj, the Prachetas, there is a long dynasty, Prachina Barishad. So Prachetas, they had actually given birth to the son Daksha Prajapati. But Daksha Prajapati, he went to perform austerities. So there was nobody through the dynasty of Uttanupad, there was nobody to actually become the successor. There was nobody ready to become the successor. So at that time, Swayambhu Manu, he approached his other son, Priyavrat Maharaj. Like who was serving in the ashram of Narada Muni for a very, very long time, for a, almost for lakhs and many lakhs of years he was serving in the ashram of Narada Muni as a brahmachari. So Aimbu Manu saw that Privarat Maharaj is having the quality, he can become the king. He also saw the qualities of the king. Then he approached him. But Privarat Maharaj refused. So at that time, Swayambhu Manu became hopeless. Because he wanted to retire, he wanted to pursue his, his spiritual life in a one-pointed, focused manner. Because he had actually discharged the responsibility for a long time and his time for retirement came, he wanted to exclusively focus on direct Krishna consciousness. So for that he wanted to take retirement, but when he approached Privarat Maharaj, Privarat Maharaj refused. And Privarat Maharaj, because he was actually brought up in the ashram of Narada Muni, the instructions of Narada Muni on renunciation, they are so strong, they are so powerful, that Swayambhu Manu felt that I have no capacity to convince Privarat Maharaj. He became hopeless. He felt that how will I be able to pursue my spiritual goal? So when he became hopeless, so at that time, Lord Brahma descended. And Lord Brahma descends and then he convinces Privarat Maharaj. In fact, Lord Brahma comes along with Lord Shiva and the four Vedas personified and he convinces Privarat Maharaj and to take up the responsibility of being a king. Of course, this pastime has many different lessons, but I just wanted to focus on this aspect. We see that because Swayambhu Manu, he had executed the mission of his spiritual master, that is Lord Brahma, without any reservation. So Lord Brahma came to help Swayambhu Manu so that he can actually pursue his spiritual goal. He can pursue his spiritual life in a one-pointed manner when it was time for him to retire. So in that way, when the disciple helps the spiritual master in his mission, then definitely at some point the guru also helps the disciple to actually follow his goal, his personal goal in a one-pointed manner. In fact, Burjan Prabhu was actually, once he was preaching in Hong Kong. So once Prabhupada came there, so it was the initial days in the movement, it was like Burjan Prabhu was having great difficulty actually preaching over there. And he told Prabhupada that I just want to go to Vrindavan. Like he was really finding difficult to continue over there. So Prabhupada said that you continue your preaching, you continue to serve here for another 10 years and then after 10 years you can go to Vrindavan. So then some of Burjan Prabhu continued the service and then he had actually completely forgotten about it. And then exactly 10 years later, he was told that he was told to go to Vrindavan to take up a service there. And then he went there and then he had forgotten that Prabhupada's instruction. And then later he remembered that Prabhupada's instruction that after 10 years you will go to Vrindavan. So he narrated in some class or something that how he actually somehow stick to the instruction of Prabhupada for serving for 10 years and then that Prabhupada's words actually came true that after 10 years he got a chance to go to Vrindavan and then he took up a service over there. So in that way we see that disciple serving the mission of the Guru and then Guru helps the disciple to follow in his further advancement. And another beautiful purport of Prabhupada where he actually talks about the importance of serving a spiritual master. So this purport is also very beautiful verse. in relation to this verse from that Brahmaji's prayers, Tatenu Kampam Susamikshamanu, Bunjanu Evatma Kritam Vipakam, Hridvag Vapurbir Vidadan Namaste, Jivetayo Mukti Padesa Dayava. So Brahmaji says that when a person, when he is going through certain difficulties, when a person earnestly, when a person undergoes the suffering without complaining, Tatenu Kampam Susamikshamanu, understanding whatever suffering is going through is nothing but the mercy of the Lord. When a person thinks that it is actually, I am suffering because of my own karma, although I actually deserve much more suffering, but Lord has given just a token of us, token of the reaction to me. And in this way, when a person patiently waits for the mercy of the Lord and goes through that suffering while offering obeisances to the Lord with one's body, mind and words, then such a person becomes qualified for going back to the spiritual world. He becomes qualified for attaining the shelter of the Lord. So, this particular verse, when Rupa Goswami explains in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he says that this verse should be the guiding principle of all the devotees. And Prabhupada writes in that purport that a devotee should not expect immediate relief from suffering. A devotee should not expect immediate relief from suffering. Immediate relief from the reactions of his past misdeeds. In fact, we find that there are so many examples in the Bhagavatam. One particular example which comes is the example of Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj, after he had when he was suffering from hunger and thirst, when Samikarishi did not respond, he put the dead snake around Samikarishi. And the Shringi actually had, the Shringi curses Parikshit Maharaj to actually to die within 7 days. But Parikshit Maharaj, after performing that act, when he was actually returning, even before he gets the news of the curse pronounced by Shringi, so there are a few verses in which Parikshit Maharaj's thought process is described. So Parikshit Maharaj starts thinking, oh, I have behaved like an uncivilized man. Anarya. And then he says, for the disrespect I have shown to the Brahmana, let the reaction come to me immediately, without any delay, and let the reaction come to me with full force. I don't want any concession in the reaction, and let the reaction do not go to any of my family members. Let it come to me only. Let it come to me only. So Parikshit Maharaj's profound consciousness, here Prabhupada is saying that a devotee should not expect immediate relief from the suffering. The Parikshit Maharaj's consciousness is that after performing that act, he wants immediate reaction with full force, immediate reaction of his act in full force upon him. He doesn't want any postponement or he doesn't want any concession. So this is this consciousness was exhibited by Parikshit Maharaj. And then when he actually gets the news, sometimes a person may be saying something externally, but then when a person actually gets the news, one may still actually curse, oh, why did I get this curse? The second chapter of the Gita, when Arjuna asks the question, how does Sita Pragya speak? Sita Pragyasya Kabasha Samadhisthasya Keshava. So there, his exact question is that, how does your Sita Pragya, what does he speak externally and internally when he is put into agitating circumstances? So sometimes in agitating circumstances we may speak something externally, but within internally we could be blaming or we could be, we may be speaking something else. But what does he speak externally and also internally? So here Parikshit Maharaj, his internal thought process was that he was actually wanting the reaction immediately with full force. And then when he actually got the news, he says that he accepted it as a good news, and then he finds it that, oh, the Lord has come in the form of the curse. And then such a beautiful verses he speaks. So then we find that at this particular point, this particular consciousness, Tattenu Kampam Susamikshamanu, that Prabhupada is mentioning in a purport, how a person can obtain this consciousness. Because it is usually, even if we think something, oh, it is because of my own karma, but after a few moments, even without knowing, like our consciousness goes into actually blaming somebody or like that. That's why it is said that emotions are like the tail of a dog. You straighten the tail of a dog, and then within few moments, once you leave it, again it actually becomes curved. So our emotions are so volatile that how do we actually get this consciousness? So Prabhupada writes in the sixth canto, Shrudeva Goswami says, Na tata hyagavan rajan puyeta tapa adibi yata krishnarpita pranas tatpurusha nishevaya. He says that Na tata hyagavan rajan. My dear king, if a sinful person engages in the service of a bona fide devotee of the Lord and learns how to dedicate his life unto the lotus feet of Krishna, then he can be completely purified. So, yata Krishna arpita prana means, just like for a living entity, we cannot live without breathing. So, a pure devotee of the Lord is one who can, for whom service to Krishna is like breathing. He cannot live without service to Krishna. So when we serve such a yata krishnarpita pranas, when a person serves such a devotee of the Lord, then a person can obtain this consciousness. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that when a devotee gets sufferings in his life, he does not protest like, why I am getting this suffering, why I have been put into this misery. Instead he thinks that this is Krishna's mercy, and such an attitude is possible for a devotee who engages in the service of Krishna's representative, and this is the secret of success. So this theme of serving a spiritual master, the duties of a disciple, that is what is being emphasized in these verses. Another beautiful example, we find the example of Abhimanyu. Example, when Abhimanyu enters the Chakravyuha in Mahabharata, so you know the story that how Abhimanyu was very brutally killed by the Maharathis. In fact, it is explained that even the celestial human beings, they condemned this act of killing of Abhimanyu. They said that, they felt that Abhimanyu has been killed in a such an insensitive manner. Even the animals would also act in a sensitive manner. But in this particular instance, these great personalities, they acted in a such an insensitive manner in killing Abhimanyu. But when we see, one may wonder that Abhimanyu is a devotee of Krishna. He is a son of Arjuna. Why did Krishna not protect Abhimanyu? But actually, we see Abhimanyu, although he was killed, but he did not have the least expectation in his mind that Krishna will come and personally protect me. Physically protect me. In Abhimanyu's consciousness, he felt that it is a glorious opportunity for me to dedicate myself in the mission of Krishna, that is to establish Dharma. And Abhimanyu did not regret his decision of entering the Chakravyuha, and he did not complain about his superiors that they did not come to support him after he entered Chakravyuha, and he did not blame Krishna that why did he not come and protect me physically. So this consciousness of Abhimanyu is the protection offered by Krishna. Usually we think Krishna's protection in terms of physically, because that bodily identification is there, so therefore we think Krishna's protection as protection of the body. But here the substance of Krishna's protection is the protection of the consciousness, and that is seen in Abhimanyu, because Abhimanyu did not have the least expectation. Abhimanyu felt that I just want to make Krishna and Arjuna proud by making them know that I fought valiantly. In the battle. So we find that Abhimanyu also had this consciousness. And this is what Prabhupada explains in 6th canto purport. This consciousness is possible by serving a representative of the Lord. And like, there are many points in this purport where Hridayan Maharaj talks about how when a person serves a spiritual master, the different kinds of material sense gratification becomes meaningless, and also the mental speculation also becomes meaningless. He says that the different pleasures of the material world and the impersonal visions of oneself as God becomes useless to one who has achieved the mercy of the lotus feet of pure devotee. So, just talking about mental speculation, again we see the example of Lord Brahma. The Brahma Vaimohan Leela, Lord Brahma, in one sense, he actually exercised his power in order to test the Krishna's power. And so he stole the calves and the cowherd boys. Brahma was trying to steal Krishna's calves and cowherd boys. Like somebody is trying to do pickpocket of another. And he doesn't realize that simultaneously his packet is being stolen. And Brahma was completely unaware in that way. Krishna completely bewildered him. So, but after Brahmaji actually came to his senses when Krishna gave him that vision, then Brahmaji offers such beautiful prayers, the 40 prayers of Brahmaji, one of the longest prayers in the Bhagavatam. And one of this prayer, Brahmaji says that, Yasya kuksha vidam sarvam satman bhatiyata tata tatvayapiha tatsarvam kimidam mayayavina. So Brahmaji explains, just as the entire universe, including you, was exhibited within your abdomen. He is referring to that Mudabhakshan Leela, where Mother Yashoda saw the entire universe, including Krishna, within the abdomen of Krishna. He is saying that, so just as the entire universe, including you, was exhibited within your abdomen, so it is now manifested here externally in the same exact form. And how could such things happen unless arranged by your inconceivable energy? So, Brahmaji is explaining this point that in the Mrudabhakshan Leela, Mother Yashoda saw the entire universe, which was outside, she saw the entire universe inside your abdomen and including you. So some people interpret this verse by saying that, the universe outside was real, but the universe which Mother Yashoda saw inside Krishna's abdomen was actually a reflection of the universe outside. And Krishna's body acted like a reflecting medium. And the universe which he saw inside was just an image, a reflection of the universe outside, and Krishna's body acted like a reflecting medium. So Jiva Goswami, he actually addresses this point in his purport. He says that usually in a reflection of an image, it has four characteristics. He says, the first characteristic is that usually the reflection of a three-dimensional image is a two-dimensional image. And then the reflection, but in this case, when Mother Yashoda saw the universe within Krishna's abdomen, she didn't see a two-dimensional image. She saw the entire universe as it is. And another characteristic of reflection is that reflection is only of visible objects. Like suppose So there is a jalebi outside. So in a mirror you see the reflection of a jalebi, but in a reflection you don't get the smell of the jalebi. It only that, only the visible object is there. But and another characteristic of a reflection is that reflection usually appears in the reverse direction, in the reverse way. If somebody's left hand becomes a right hand in the reflection in the image. But in this verse, Brahmaji is saying that, he mentions that, Satman Bhati Yata Tata. Bhati Yata Tata means, he says that, Mother Yashoda saw the same universe exactly inside your abdomen. Exactly it was inside. That means, it was not just a, some two-dimensional reflection. In fact, all the, it was not only a reflection of the visible objects. Inside, in the universe, it had the same universe with all the other sound vibrations, other fragrance of all the different elements. All those things were present. Same universe was there exactly. It was not that the universe was appearing in a reverse manner inside the abdomen. It was exactly as it is. And then the fourth characteristic of reflection is that, in the case of a reflection, that the reflection of an image does not contain the reflecting medium. So the mirror acts like a reflecting medium, and the image which you see in the mirror, that reflection does not contain the reflecting medium. But Mother Yashoda, Brahmaji is saying in this word, Sa Atman. Mother Yashoda saw the entire universe as it is in your abdomen, including you. So according to the other interpreters, they say that the Krishna's body acted like a reflecting medium, and they, what Mother Yashoda saw inside was a just a reflection. But Brahmaji is proving it is not actually a reflection. Mother Yashoda did not see the reflection inside. She saw the entire universe as it is inside your abdomen. And how can it be possible without your without the power of your maya potency, without your inconceivable potency? Kimidam mayaya vina. And in this way, another verse that will end, Brahmaji explains that Kovetti Bhuman Bhagavan Paratman Yogeshwarotir Bhavatas Trilokyam Kova Katamva Kativa Kadeti Vistarayan Kridasi Yoga Mayam. So Brahmaji is addressing, he is speaking this verse in a rhetorical manner. The rhetorical question is that you pose a question, but you don't expect an answer from the other person. That person himself is giving an answer. So Brahmaji is addressing Krishna by four words: Bhuman, Bhagavan, Paratman, and Yogeshwara. And then he is also asking four questions. He is saying that Kova, that means first question he asks is where does the Lord manifest his pastimes? Where does the Lord manifest his particular form? Kvava. So the corresponding word is Bhuman. He says that, no, you are actually Bhuman. Bhuman means you are all pervading. Because you are all pervading, nobody knows where the Lord will actually manifest his particular form. In that way, he is indirectly giving an answer. And then he is asking the second question, Katam. How will the Lord manifest his pastimes? Correspondingly, he addresses the Lord by the word Bhagavan. Bhagavan means the Lord who is actually filled with inconceivable potencies. So because you are having inconceivable potencies, nobody knows how you will manifest your pastimes. Because your potencies are inconceivable. In this way, he is giving an answer. And then, Kativa. How many qualities do you exhibit? And nobody knows an answer to this question because you are Paratman. Paratman means you have unlimited qualities and you perform unlimited actions, so nobody knows the answer to this question. And then, Kada, when will when will you appear? When will you actually manifest? When will you actually appear in this world? This also nobody knows the answer, because you are Yogeshwara. So Yogeshwara, one meaning is that one is a master of mystic power. Another meaning is one who is not limited by time. Because you are not limited by time, nobody knows when you will actually manifest your form or appear or pastimes. So in this way, Brahmaji, he was previously affected by that mental speculation. So therefore, he actually tried to use his power to understand the power of Krishna. But then, in these prayers, Brahmaji, he is explaining how he is glorifying the form of the Supreme Lord. He is saying that how nobody can understand when the Lord will appear, where you will appear. He is quoting that how Lord, by his inconceivable Maya potency, he made the universe which was outside, he made the same universe visible inside his abdomen. And he showed that to Mother Yashoda. So I'll stop here. Gantaran Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.